Hiranohoshi 247. Recite in the name of your Lord who created human life from an embryo. The children are walking with mother to the park one sunny Saturday afternoon in Okinawa when Mona suddenly commented, "We were studying about Arabia in social studies class yesterday. The book talked about Islam as the religion of Arabia. Isn't that the religion of Muhammad? Did he come from Arabia?" Mother was helping Anissa pick some wildflowers when she looked up and answered, "Yes, there's an interesting story about Muhammad's ancestors coming to live in Arabia. The prophet Abraham had a son named Ishmael, and he and his mother were sent into the Arabian desert. They were about to die because there was no water. When the boy's mother prayed for help, the angel Gabriel came down and pointed to a place in the sand, and suddenly water sprang up from it. The well was called Zamzam. It was considered the water of life. Ishmael and his heirs were given the right to this water for all time. Near where the well bubbled up, Abraham built the great Kaaba, a large square building with a black stone in it that Adam had first used to pray and worship to Allah." "I heard of that place," put in Asma. "The Muslims walk around it for pilgrimage." "At first, Ishmael and his descendants worshiped God," continued Mother. "But sadly, they gradually fell into idol worshiping statues. And strangely, the water of life in Zamzam dried up and disappeared, and no one could remember exactly where it was."
"Zamzam," cried Riaz. "What a funny name."
"Shh," said Shala. "Let me listen to the story, Riaz." So for a long time, there was no water in Mecca, and they had to travel a long way to carry water into the city every day. Muhammad's grandfather was a direct descendant of Ishmael and a very strong believer in God, when most everyone else in Mecca were idol worshippers. He was determined to find Zamzam and bring back the water of life to Mecca. Muhammad's grandfather was sure he could find it, because prophecy said that only when men returned to God would the water of life return. Around the time that Muhammad was born, he did find it.
"Wow, so that is a double meaning, right, Mom?" put in Mona. "The water of life could mean the water you drink that saves your life, or it could mean the spiritual teachings from God that Muhammad brought."
Mother gave Mona a big smile.
"Exactly," then she continued.
"Muhammad's father died right around the time that Muhammad was born. Soon after he was born, Muhammad's mother gave him to a Bedouin woman who lived in the desert. This was the custom with wealthy women in Mecca because the air was so bad there, babies would die if they stayed in Mecca."
"Oh, poor baby," said Anissa. "Far away from his mommy."
"It was okay," said Mother. "The Bedouin mother loved Muhammad just like her own son. The Bedouins traveled in deserts on camels, buying and selling animals and other things. They were great storytellers
and had a warm and loving community life. Until Muhammad was about 5 years old, he lived with them and was part of their life. One time, when he was about 2 years old, his foster brother, who was only a couple of years older than him, came running into the tent to say, "Two men are hurting my brother." Muhammad's foster mother ran out to the desert, and the men of the tribe ran after her. They saw Muhammad lying on the ground on his back. He was very weak. When she yelled the men to go and catch the men that had done this, they were confused. They just stood there because there were no footprints in the sand except for Muhammad's. The foster brother also insisted that two men had put their hands into Muhammad's chest and had done something. The foster mother believed him because Muhammad was always different, a more spiritual, sweeter child than she'd ever known. "Angels, right? It was angels that touched his heart, right, Mom?" shouted Riaz. Mother smiled and continued. Soon after Muhammad went back to live with his true mother, she died, and Muhammad was an orphan. He was only about 5 years old then. "Aw, how sad," said Shala. "I don't like sad stories." Again, Mother smiled and continued. His uncle adopted him and treated him just like his own son. And his grandfather loved him very much, too. He had lots of people to love him. One day, when Muhammad was about 6 years old, his uncle found him in an alley, watching a mouse eating some grain. The uncle came up to him, and Muhammad said, "It has no idea of the danger." The uncle didn't know what he was talking about. And so Muhammad pointed up to the sky. And high above them was a tiny black speck. It was a hawk. It was waiting to pounce on the mouse. "Oh, I get it," said Asma. "It is the same as us not knowing what danger we're in by living just material lives and forgetting the spiritual side of life." "Wow, Asma, how did you figure that out?" asked Mona. "Well, he is a manifestation of God, so everything he says probably has some meaning, even if he was a kid." The rest of the kids joined Mona in shaking their heads in wonder at Asma's observation. Mother continued, "Muhammad used to go with his uncle on the caravans, traveling from one city to another, buying and selling things. One day, as they were returning home to Mecca, a message came from a Christian monk who lived in a cave near Mecca. The message invited all the people in the caravan to a banquet at the monk's cave. All the men went. But the uncle left Muhammad at home because he was only about 11 years old at the time. The monk had spent all the money he had saved his whole life on this one dinner. The monk kept looking expectantly at each face all through dinner. When the dinner was over, he looked so sad and disappointed. As they were leaving, Muhammad's uncle said, 'Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm taking these dates to my son.' With that, the monk got very excited. 'What? There was another person in the caravan? Why did you not bring him? I told everyone in the caravan to come. Bring him, bring him.' So the uncle went and brought Muhammad back. Muhammad shyly stood behind his uncle. The monk said, 'This is not your son. Who is this child?' And the uncle told him it was his nephew. The monk explained, 'I have been waiting so long because I was told by God that when the son's face is hidden, God would bring his last prophet. Today, I saw a cloud in the always cloudless Arabian sky, and that cloud covered the sun, casting a shade on one wagon of your caravan. That shade followed that one wagon from far out in the desert all the way back to Mecca. That wagon was the one that this boy was riding in. He is the prophet foretold in the Bible. With this, all the children clapped their hands. Yay, they said. As Mohammed grew up, continued Mother, he helped his merchant uncle more and more with his business. Mohammed became known everywhere as Al-Amin, the trusted one. He spent much of his time helping the poor and standing up for those who had no rights, like women and children and poor people. That sounds just like Baha'u'llah, said Shala. And Buddha, too, said Asma. Duh, said Riaz. He's a manifestation of God, you know. Well, of course, no one knew that yet. It wasn't until after he married Khadija and they had four daughters that the angel Gabriel came to Muhammad to tell him it was time for him to start telling the people of this new message. With Christ, it happened with a dove coming down when John the Baptist was baptizing him, said Mona. Yeah, and with Buddha, it was when he was meditating under the Bo tree, said Riaz, pleased with himself that he remembered. And with Baha'u'llah, it was the dark pit prison, whispered Shala in a quiet voice. Well, Muhammad was in a cave that he used to go to when he needed to escape the greed and selfishness of Mecca, continued Mother. The angel Gabriel came to Muhammad and told him, recite! Muhammad turned away from the angel, not wanting this terribly difficult assignment. Recite! The angel commanded again. Again, Muhammad turned away. Putting his arms around Muhammad and holding him tightly, the angel commanded again with all the force of God, recite! And what do you think he did? Asked Mother. He recited, shouted all the children. Mother laughed. No! He ran out of the cave and up to the Mount Hira. He climbed all the way up to the top and was going to throw himself to the bottom of the mountain because he didn't want this job that God had given him. But when he looked out at Mecca, far below in the distance, he breathed in the power of God and he decided to recite. Yay! Shouted all the children. What does that mean, Mom? Recite, asked Riaz. It means to say what God puts into his mouth. Not words from his own head, Mother explained. So, when Muhammad got back to his home, he told his wife, Khadija, what had happened. She was the very first person to believe that he was the voice of God. Most of the rest of the family, uncles, cousins, and such, all turned against him because Muhammad was telling everyone what God spoke through him and that there was only one God in the whole universe. Allah means God in Arabic. So he recited, "There is no God but Allah." He told them to get rid of all the idols in the Kaaba. That is what made everyone so mad. Because Mecca relied on the business from the pilgrims who came from all over and from many different countries to worship the idols. They were afraid if they got rid of the idols, people wouldn't come to buy their goods anymore. That's selfish, said little Anissa, and everyone laughed. Muhammad and his followers were chased out of Mecca. They ran away to Medina. Then eventually, after many years, they had many hundreds or thousands of followers, and they came back to Mecca. They took over the Kaaba and returned it to the worship of God like Adam and Abraham had intended. Yay! Shouted the children again. All through Muhammad's long life, he recited what God told him to say. The Quran is those verses that God gave Muhammad to say. Some of the teachings of Muhammad are the five pillars of faith. 1. The declaration of faith. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. 2. Obligatory prayer 5 times a day. 3. Giving to the poor. 4. Fasting. And 5. Pilgrimage to Mecca to circle the Kaaba. So, finished Mother. What do you think? Any questions? Just as she asked that, they all arrived at the park. The children suddenly disappeared, running off in all directions to play ball or slide down the grassy hill on cardboard or play on the swings. Only little Anissa remained, holding Mother's hand. Well, Anissa, I guess there are no questions, laughed Mother. Let's go swing on the swings. Yay! Shouted Anissa. And that's just what they did.